Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Kim Zember. I'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Kim Zember. She's an author of the book Restless Heart. She's a speaker. She speaks on same-sex attraction issues, chastity issues, and just living the gospel more generously. She's a powerful witness, much needed in our age today.
We're now going to a reflection with Father Mark.
Kim Zember is such a needed and eloquent voice on the issue of same-sex attraction today. As the people of God, we are called to proclaim the full truth of the gospel in the world, and we are to do it with love so that people can receive the message, so they can hear the fullness of that message, that God loves us all, that all human persons are made in the dignity of being in the image and likeness of God. Nobody can take away that dignity. And then we're called to communion with God in this life and in the next. We're called to be close to Him, to love Him, to receive that love. And we need to check our own motivations and attitudes on this issue. Sometimes we can freight it with outside baggage. Some people can just see this as a battleground for sexual license of all kinds, right? And others can see it as a special example of the secularism in our culture. And we lose sight of the individual before us. You know, we have to see real people struggling with this issue, to have compassion, to give the fullness of the teaching, definitely, to do so with compassion and understanding. You know, this teaching goes back well over 3,000 years. It's part of the Judeo-Christian heritage that we have received. And these homosexual acts can never be approved of. They can never be condoned. The Catechism uses the phrase intrinsically disordered. They can never be done. They never lead to a human flourishing. They deny the male-female complementarity that happens in marriage, the two coming together. This mutual complementarity, this help they can give each other that serves human flourishing and that serves life. That's the beauty of marriage. God designed that. He made us that way. When we live this teaching of the church, it's a blessing for us. It's a flourishing that we can't have without that teaching, without the church's guidance, without the gospel. We need that gospel voice today. May we be part of a loving proclamation of that message. Well, Kim Zember, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Amen. Good to be here.
Good to have you back. You're the author of Restless Heart. You're a full-time speaker. You do mission work in Ethiopia. You have a mission in Ethiopia. Yep. And your topics, you're preaching, you're here at Focus, you're talking about same-sex attraction. Can you start with a little bit of your testimony, your personal testimony?
Yeah. You know, I grew up in the church. I'll be super brief because there's a whole book on it, but grew up in the church, grew up private Catholic school, third grade through eighth grade. Knew about God, but I, to be honest, would say I saw Him more as a cop than a father. Mm-hmm. Just kind of went on, life is normal. And then it was into my senior year that I started to realize I was much more attracted to women, drawn to women than to men. Didn't act on it when I was younger, kind of felt it, but didn't act on it. Knew it was wrong, knew it wasn't what God had for me, knew it wasn't His way. But just because you know something's wrong doesn't mean that the desire goes away, right? So I didn't really know what to do. I didn't open up to anyone, didn't talk to anybody about it because I felt like I was just going to get the same, like, it's wrong, don't act on it, don't do anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I already knew that. And so I didn't feel like there was going to be anybody that would necessarily accompany me. Ended up diving into the lifestyle. Long story short, got counsel from a Catholic therapist as well as a Catholic priest that I just needed to accept who I was, that God is love and He loves me and He didn't make a mistake in creating me. So I bring up the scriptures and they're like, well, that was, you know, then. And I'm like, okay, I came in to talk about my sexuality, and now you're unraveling the whole scriptures. Like, this is worse than it started. And yeah. I knew in my heart it was grace yeah. that I knew that was them trying to be compassionate and loving, mm-hmm. but separated from truth. Yeah. Isn't really love. And so ended up diving into a lot happened. Ended up getting married, tried to think, okay, had such a fear of being alone. Like, if I don't get married, I don't want to be a nun. That was just as scary as being alone to me.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting married and just prayed, like, God, make me fall in love with this guy. You know, great man, love the Lord. But it's not like a real prayer. Like, he doesn't want to yeah. make me fall in love, and I didn't even know God himself to right. the loving level. And so to love another person yeah. was even silly, you know, mm. to try to, and ended up cheating on him with a woman mm. and then lived in the lifestyle. I was like, you know what, I'm done. I've been trying to fight this myself. Yeah. I just need to give in and do what I naturally feel, even though it's not right. And I know it's not. And I dated women for years. And then in 2017, the Lord, I hit what I would call rock bottom, at least in that season of life. Mm-hmm. And I just surrendered to the Lord. I said, okay, I've heard you're good. I haven't really experienced mm-hmm. it. Like, I've seen you, but like, I need to know that you're good at mm-hmm. being God over my life. And so that night, I just said, it was October 17th, 2014. And said, be Lord over my life. And if you're good at it, you'll get my whole life.
Right.
Kind of going on lease to own. But he has proved himself faithful. He had yeah. proved himself loving, kind, gentle. I'm starting to learn not just Jesus as my savior, but bridegroom, mm-hmm. like the man, truly the God man after mm-hmm. my heart. And he's also been revealing the Father to me, God the Father that I really didn't grow up knowing. And I don't blame anybody for that except Satan.
Yeah.
But I really, really embracing not being a speaker, not being someone who wrote a book or a missionary, but a beloved daughter.
Yeah.
So.
And you're from Southern California, right?
San Diego, yeah.
San Diego. And you had a successful career, real estate things, yeah. savvy. You've established this mission in Ethiopia. And so you're modern. You're cool. You're hip. Capable.
Yeah.
How would you just, if we could simply say, what is the church's teaching on homosexuality?
It's not God's way. Mm-hmm. He designed woman for man and man for woman
yeah.
in the unity of marriage. Mm-hmm. He also created woman for woman in deep united friendship.
Right.
We need each
right.
other as women. Men need each other as men.
Yeah.
But I believe to seek this love that we're trying to seek uh-huh. from the same sex, it's not the teachings of the church.
Right.
It's not going to be the teachings of the church
right.
because our church, by God's grace, remains rooted in his word, and his word isn't changing.
Yeah.
But what I do believe where we miss it is how to walk that out with each yeah. other, you know, yeah. and when someone does, like myself, struggle with this attraction to the same sex, what do we do?
Right.
You know, so, yeah. but I believe the church's teachings are very true and they're very loving, especially if you read through. I mean, it really is loving. And just because it's hard and difficult doesn't mean it's not love.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that, how to walk with a person. But like today's young people, how would you describe the messaging around this issue? What do they hear? What are they being taught?
Yeah, I think there's such mixed messages, which breaks my heart, even within the church, right?
Yeah.
So we can go to society and then it gets even messier.
Yeah.
But, you know, we hear a lot, love is love.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I said to you, blue is blue, mm-hmm. you'd be like, well, what's blue?
Yeah.
Right? And so if I say love is love to someone, yeah. I'm not leading them
yeah.
to the source that is love. We know God is love. And so I feel like there's just a lot of catchy phrases out there and people are kind of holding on to him,
right.
but it's not rooted.
Right.
It's not rooted in Christ. And I think there's this thing is we need to accept people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Accept people. But just because you accept someone doesn't mean you accept and celebrate everything they do.
Right. Right.
I mean, even me. Okay. So
right.
I'm not in this lifestyle anymore, but mm-hmm. you can love me, but that doesn't mean you love everything I do.
Right.
Right? And to ever celebrate sin, mm-hmm. come on. Jesus died for sin. He gave his very life for sin.
Yeah.
He didn't celebrate it. He
right.
celebrates the person. It said, while we were still sinners, he yeah. died for us.
Yeah.
Right? So to celebrate sin. And so that's there's so much confusion, especially over the younger generation of like, you know, we don't judge. We just love. Well, no, but we stand up. We don't have to judge someone's heart or what their intention is. But what we can say is what is true and what is good. Because
right.
God's told us that. He
yeah.
created that, not us.
Yeah.
You give a lot of talks. You talk to a lot of young people, probably adults too. What do you hear like in their heart? What are they really longing for? What do you hear from them?
I think it's what we all long for. Yeah. It's actually what we're created for. Mm-hmm. To be loved, mm-hmm. to be seen, yeah. to be known, to be cherished, to be desired, yeah. to be liked. Yeah. You can know you're loved, but to actually be liked, to be enjoyed.
I preached on that one time. I said, we all know God loves us, but do we really believe he likes us?
Right. And that, there's a difference, right? Yeah, there really is. Because, you know, love sometimes is something that you feel like God has to like you. Yeah. Or has to love you, right. I'm sorry. But liking feels like more like a choice. And he, like, because we've twisted so much what love is, but yeah. his love is him liking us yeah. and enjoying us. That doesn't mean he likes and enjoys yeah. everything we do.
Right. Right.
But I really believe that we are in a crisis of...
He delights in us.
He delights yeah. in us. Yeah. yeah. But I think we're in a crisis of a lack of love. And so we are searching from anyone and everyone to be loved. Because... Yeah. If we don't know it comes from God, and not just know it, but experience yeah. his love in the midst of where we're at, yeah. not when we get things figured out. So many people are under the misconception and the lie that in order to be loved by God, they have to get everything right. Mm-hmm. They have to be perfect. Yeah. And I'm like, it's the one who makes you perfect. You got to right. get close to him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you keep, it's not, let me clean myself up. Let me take a shower before I shower. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Get with the one who paid right. the price to free us from sin.
Right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Kim Zimber. Well, welcome back. Kim, I wanted to talk about you give like a portion of your talks is about how to walk with a person with same-sex attraction. Let's talk about that. What's your first point there?
I think see the person more than you see the problem. I think yeah. sometimes we want to walk with people, but we want to fix them, right? We want to get them right with God instead of yeah. getting them with God, right? Get right. them back to Jesus. And right. how do we do that? Be like Jesus.
Right.
Be so soaked in Jesus that person is like, I want what you have. And then I get to share actually what I have is who I have, mm-hmm. right? And so sometimes we're so focused on the sin that we lose sight of the very person in front of us.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, I don't remember where it is right now in scripture, but it says to bear with one another their burden.
Yeah.
It doesn't say to fix one another's
yeah.
burden.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. Mm-hmm. Are we interceding? Are we praying? And saying, God, give me your heart for the person in front of me.
Yeah.
Give me your heart.
Right.
And when we start to really pray that, watch how our interactions will be different. That doesn't mean we go to celebrate sin, because that's not God's heart, right? That's not his heart. He doesn't celebrate sin, but he celebrates the person
yeah.
in the midst of their brokenness.
Yeah.
And he meets them and he invites them into relationship.
Yeah. You know, I like the passage of the rich young man goes up to Jesus. In Mark's gospel, he says he looked upon him and loved him, or looked upon him and loving him. And then he says, come follow me. So he knows the guy's going to go away sad. He's attached to his possessions, but he's looking at him with love.
Yes.
You know, and I that's so powerful because, yeah, we think God can't really love me.
No. He doesn't want to look yeah. at me until yeah. I'm clean.
Yeah.
But he's
yeah.
the one that actually makes us holy.
Yeah.
The one who is holy when we draw near to him. And in humility say, I'm not worthy.
Right.
I'm not worthy
right.
to be loved by you.
Mm-hmm.
But you say you want to love me. You say that while I was a sinner, you died for me. So here I am.
Yeah.
Come as you are
yeah.
and watch how he transforms you from the inside out. From the inside out.
Yeah, that the person is greater than whatever our sins are. We're not the sum of our sins. Right? And you talk about being included. Is that one of the points?
Yeah, I think that could be a word that is taken so differently,
yeah,
right?
Loaded.
Like everybody needs to know mm-hmm. that you are welcome, right? Mm-hmm. But we want to all come as people who all have things in our lives, brokenness, all these
yeah.
things. So we want to come and like make sure that they know I'm broken too. It's not
yeah,
just you
right.
who has same-sex attraction that's broken.
Right.
So like we're in this together. You might actually know who it was that said, Christianity is actually more like one beggar telling another beggar where they
right,
found food.
Right.
And like, I believe if the LGBT community felt that, not just heard it, but sees like, wow, okay, this girl doesn't struggle with her sexuality, but she's vulnerable with what she does struggle with. Like, I'm not alone. Like, and it's not now let's just stay here and celebrate our brokenness. No, let's go to the one together who is our savior, who wants to love us into wholeness. So that is how I see inclusiveness, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like we could say, it's a powerful phrase to say, well, me too. You know, I've got my struggles. And then you also talk about, like, we should personally pray that we may have God's heart for the person.
Yeah.
You know, to see them. Because we can be put off if they don't fit what we're used to, right? We could push people away. And I've done that, I know.
Myself too.
I know God called me to task on that at times too. But it's like, to have that heart, right? Talk about that prayer.
You know, I'm really concerned because I've been in this place. I've received it, and then I've also been the person who sent it out.
Yeah.
Where I know God's words, but I don't carry his heart.
Yeah.
And that can be really detrimental to people because we're saying the right thing, but apart from the heartbeat of God our Father, who longs for all to be with him, that all would come to repentance, that all would be saved,
right?
And so if I don't carry the longing that God has in his heart for that person, but I just deliver his truth, then I'm actually not delivering truth. Because it cannot be separated from love. Love and truth are not, we sometimes treat them as two different things. But Jesus is, and was, and always will be, truth and love, not separated. You know, and so I sometimes get concerned in my own walk, and I've experienced how that's felt, where I'm like, wow, that is true, but gosh, I don't feel like you actually really care about me.
I
heard you. And what's that one saying? It says that a lot of times people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so that to me is like, God, break my heart. For what breaks yours? Because his heart is longing for those that he created to be in his family, to come and to be with him for eternity. And if we don't carry that same longing, I'm a little concerned that we get the message, part of the message out, but not the main one.
Which is
God longs for you.
You know? And you've suffered from that divorce of truth and love. Giving not the truth about the church's teaching.
And then I've received the opposite of that too. I've received just the truth, and it felt very separated from any compassion, you know?
And what would you say, church, you're telling me I can't get married. What would you tell a young person in that situation? What does the Lord have for you?
Okay, so I want to highlight a word, can't. See, I think that's the same thing. When we learn the nature and character of God, know and then experiential knowledge of how good he is, the kind of cans and can'ts start to fall away.
Yeah.
Because to me, if somebody says, so you're telling me I can't get married, I'm like, okay, they might not yet fully know and experience this radical relationship that Jesus came to have with us. Because here's the thing. I'm not dating women because I can't. I'm not with women because I found a greater love, a greater love. Is there still suffering? Absolutely, there's suffering in your walk. There's suffering in the walk of marriage, in childbirth, you know, in everything. There's suffering. But see, I don't live by cans and can'ts. Yes, there's sin, there's not sin. I'm not saying that. But when it's a love relationship, like if I was in a marriage and, you know, it was just like, oh, I can't do that. I can't cheat on my husband. No, I love him so much, I don't want to. And so I think that part of that is actually part of that answer even to the question is when they find that real love in Jesus himself and then through the community he brings you or whatever he brings through himself first, your first love, then you're going to start to see these other loves come into your life that don't take first place, but actually fill your heart. He doesn't want us to just suffer through this life and be like, well, I did it all for Jesus. Yes, we will suffer for Christ and for him to be glorified, but there will be joy. It says the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And he wants that for us. I'm not miserable. I don't do interviews and just try to look happy for interviews or when I share. Like, see me at the gas station. I can have bad days, of course. We're human beings. But, like, I'm not miserable. See, I think sometimes we idolize marriage. Mm-hmm. We put it here, and Jesus himself says, there's no marriage in heaven. There's right. one marriage,
yeah.
the bridegroom and the bride. And yeah. so sometimes I think we lose sight yeah. of eternity, and then it can. It seems like he's just really mean, and anybody who has same-sex attraction, you're just going to end up, you know, this is your death sentence. Yeah. And it's yeah. not. It's actually yeah. a ticket into life and life abundant. I really believe it because yeah. I'm experiencing it myself. Yeah. There's still struggle, but yeah. there's life and life abundant in yeah.
him. And you're doing work with this community, but also in Ethiopia. I mean, you have a full life.
Yeah.
You're not sitting at home feeling sorry for yourself.
No, I'm not. I tried that route, and that only lasted so long. I mean, you know, people have asked, they're like, well, how do you do so much? And I was like, you know, and I don't mean by like doing. God doesn't love me more because I do more. Mm-hmm. He loves me most because I'm his,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the reality is, from that place of being loved, I can go out now and share that with others. If I was married and had children of my own, I don't know that I'd have 500 kids in Ethiopia that I get to care for.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd be at Seek right now for 5 days with a bunch of Gen Z, you know, and
yeah.
like love it. And,
yeah.
you know, like,
right.
and so there's a beauty to marriage, and that's such an amazing calling, but there is a fullness, and there are people out in the world that need spiritual mothers and fathers, big sisters, brothers. And we can be that because I don't have my own children, but I have yeah. many children in
right,
a way,
right,
you know?
Right. Well, Kim, thank you so
yeah,
much for
absolutely.
Talking to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Kim is an amazing woman. You know, she's got this mission going in Ethiopia as well. Powerful speaker, just so full of energy. When you're in the room with her, you just feel her energy. But especially this issue, I feel like the church is just getting crushed in the secular world on this issue. We're seen as unloving, not real enough. You know, we got to get with the times, and she yeah. speaks into all that.
Well, she's bold. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of the things as I was listening to her, it's like she doesn't mince words. You know, she just kind of lays it out. You know, and she's lived it to know it, you know, of what it kind of leads to, but she's found something greater. And I think it's not that I can't. She talked about, you know, it's not that I can, but more that I found something,
right,
you know, something
right.
greater than myself,
yeah.
you know, than what really just the world presents. And that's God. You
yeah.
know, a lot of times just having that first relationship with God and how vital and how important that is to all of us, you
yeah.
know, because we're all called to chastity. There's different degrees, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have taken a vow of celibacy and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to respond to that. We have to be in tune to God. Same
yeah.
thing. Others, whether circumstance or whatever, you know, we are called to have that first and foremost, that relationship with God.
Right. And she's put so much energy into her own spiritual life. Like you said, it's not just saying no, it's embracing something the more.
Mm-hmm.
She's coming out with another book about the Father's love. I don't think it's out yet, but she just did a lot of work, even with some Protestant brothers and sisters, helping her to discover the Father's love. And she presents that. And I like her point too, that, you know, love without truth is not real love.
All right.
So we want to affirm, accept people, but it has to be in the truth. We don't celebrate sin,
mm-hmm.
she would say. But she also recognized, you know, a lot of mistakes we do is just bringing truth without God's heart.
All right.
You know, and I love that phrase she said too, that, you know, do our hearts break like God's hearts for people that are struggling mm-hmm. with whatever brokenness. And I thought those are just some great points to remember, you know, in helping others and trying to walk
yeah.
with them on their journey.
I think too, one of the things she said, you know, something can be hard to hear, but it doesn't mean it's not spoken out of love.
Right.
You know,
right.
and that's sometimes, you know, that does, again, it has to resonate with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
To realize that, you know, this person's
yeah.
saying this to me
yeah.
because they do love me.
Right.
Not because they hate me
right.
or don't want me or don't want me around.
Yeah. yeah.
It's because they do love me.
Yeah. Like she had was given some bad pastoral advice that, you know, she continue on this same-sex lifestyle kind of thing. And she went out there for years
mm-hmm.
and suffered. You know, I think we got to remember that.
Yeah.
Sin is doing no one any favors,
right?
And we're supposed to proclaim Jesus Christ, present his heart to others, to love others, to lead them to the Lord. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
into the heart of mercy. Blood and water pouring from your side, it floods my heart, it brings me back to life. Blood and water pouring from your side, it floods my heart, it brings me back to life. Into the heart, into the heart of mercy that bore my shame and broke my chains at Calvary. Thy love pours